We're going to be reading today, starting off with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Here we find an interesting statement about the nature of sin. We're studying about sin and what the Bible doctrine of sin is. Well, we find out a very important characteristic of sin and a very sobering fact about sin in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Paul said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Paul said that the direction of these evil men is to wax, the King James says, and that means to grow or become, worse and worse. This is the nature of sin. Sin never satisfies. It always leaves us feeling empty and guilty. Sin is like a drug. When people come down from a high on drugs, they feel terrible. And then they go right back to those drugs to make them feel better again. This is why so many people are addicted to drugs these days. Now, sin works in the same way. Sin is addictive. Jesus said in John 8, verse 34, "Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." People serve and are enslaved to sin just like people are addicted to drugs. And there's something that we see very clearly about sin in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And that is that sin has the tendency to become worse and worse. Sin takes a man farther and farther away from God. Once a person crosses the line into sin, especially if he does it deliberately and intentionally, the direction is to get worse and worse. It's to get deeper and deeper into sin. You may have seen that in people's lives. This is the nature of sin. It's like being on a diet and then breaking it. Once you've been on a diet and you've avoided certain foods or certain amounts of food, and then you cross over that line, you eat something that you weren't supposed to eat, well, it's only natural then, and it's very easy to go farther and to break that diet even more and to eat more and more. It's just the nature of things. Well, that's a trivial illustration of what we're talking about, but it works the same way in the spiritual realm. When a man crosses the line into sin, he usually doesn't stop with just the one sin that he's guilty of committing. He usually keeps going and going farther down that road. And what we find is that the Bible is full of examples of this kind of progression of sin. For instance, when we go back to Cain, the story of Cain and Abel in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4 is a good example of somebody becoming worse and worse with his sinful attitude and his sinful ways. We find in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain disobeyed God because he didn't worship God the way that he was supposed to. And so God rejected his sacrifice. God did not accept his worship. Well, that made Cain mad. So he's disobeyed God, and now he's angry at God for no reason, for no valid reason. But it keeps getting worse, and God warned him that if he didn't get a hold of his bad attitude, things were going to get worse. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." It's just around the corner. You're going to get worse, and your sin is going to take you even farther than it already has. So he's disobeyed God, and now he's mad for no reason whatsoever. And he's jealous, he's envious of his brother. He resents his brother because his brother did what was right and Cain did not. And the Bible tells us then that he goes out and he talks with his brother. He gets into an argument with his brother and he murders his own brother. Do you see the progression of sin? Do you see how that he has become worse and worse? And I suppose that if there's a vivid example of a man becoming worse and worse in the Bible to illustrate the nature of sin, it would be King Saul in the book of 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, here's what we find. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 13 that Saul disobeyed God. He disobeyed God because he didn't do what the prophet Samuel, a prophet of God, told him to do. So Samuel told him to wait until he came to Gilgal to offer a sacrifice. Well, Saul didn't want to wait, and he went ahead and offered the sacrifice anyway. He disobeyed God by disobeying Samuel. But that's not all. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that he disobeyed God again. And he argued with Samuel, who told him that he had not done what God told him to do. Saul was very stubborn. And he said, "Oh yes, I have. I've done what God told me to do." This is the story of Samuel telling Saul what to do in the case of the Amalekites. You see, God told Saul that he was to kill all the Amalekites. He was to kill all their livestock. Well, Saul didn't do that. He brought back the best of the livestock and brought back the king. So he disobeyed a direct command of God and then argued with the prophet of God that he'd done what was right. It's very interesting to see what Samuel tells him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Samuel said to Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, he didn't say at this point that Saul was guilty of witchcraft, that he was serving idols, but he said, if you continue down this road of rebellion, if you keep up with this stubborn attitude that you have, you're going to get into things that you never imagined. And I'm sure that at this point, that Saul didn't really listen to what he was saying, that Saul didn't take him seriously, that Saul didn't believe that he would ever do anything like what Samuel said he might do. And yet we find at the end of this book that he did go and visit a witch. He did get into witchcraft, just like Samuel had told him. Now, how does that happen, folks? It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time where a man violates his conscience once, and that makes it that much easier for him to go against his conscience the second time and the third time. And so what happened with Saul is that he disobeyed God in 1 Samuel 13. Now he's disobeyed God again in 1 Samuel 15, and the prophet of God tells him and warns him that if he doesn't get rid of this stubborn attitude, then this sin in his heart is going to take him even farther away from God. And that's what happened. Because Saul didn't really repent, even though he said, "Well, I have sinned," he really did not repent deep enough down in his soul so that he turned his life and heart around to God. What we find is that in 1 Samuel chapter 18, he became very jealous of David. And then we find throughout the rest of this book of 1 Samuel that his life became filled with fear, with hate, with vengeance, with rash decisions, and eventually suicide. So there is a graphic and a vivid example of what Paul is talking about, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And yet another famous example of this nature of sin that we're talking about is the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we find the story of this younger son who said to his father that he wanted his inheritance right then. So he's got a bad attitude. He's got a very selfish attitude from the very start here. And things go from bad to worse very quickly. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15 that the father went ahead and divided the inheritance to his sons. And then it says that in verse 13, not many days after this younger son had received his part of the inheritance, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So here is a young man who was at his father's house. He was living evidently an obedient life. He wasn't giving his father the trouble that he later got into in this story. And yet once he crosses this line, once he develops this bad attitude and he goes in the direction of sin, sin, as it always does, took him farther than he ever imagined and caused him more pain and grief than he could ever have imagined before he left his father's house. So the Bible tells us then that he begins to pay the price for his sins. And the Bible says that he became so hungry that he wanted to eat what the hogs were eating, and then he decided that he was going to go back to his father's house. Then the Bible says that he came to himself. That is, he came to his senses. We say sometimes that he hit rock bottom. In a sense, he hit rock bottom head first, and he decided that he was going to get his act together and return to his father. He went back to his father, and he confessed his sin, and in his case, he did what was right. He turned his life around because he repented. So many people do not. But what we find in this sad story is the progression of sin, the nature of sin to become and to grow worse and worse in a person's life. And friends, this happens to this very day. How many times have we seen a man who is a decent man, maybe even a Christian, maybe a church-going person, and we find that he decides that he's going to commit adultery. He decides that he's going to have an affair with another woman. We have seen in our lives, haven't we, many times that that individual does not stop there. We find that that individual, once he crosses that line into sin, not only commits that particular sin, but he begins to do things that nobody would have imagined. He lies. He begins to drink. He may even go so far as to take another man's life. He may go so far as to commit murder. Now, if you think that I'm stretching things, remember the story of David, a good man in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, once he crossed the line into committing adultery, what's the next thing that we find him doing? We find him being very deceptive, and we find him guilty of murder. This is the downhill course of sin. I'm not saying that everybody who crosses the line into one particular sin is going to be guilty of all these other crimes or sins, but I am saying that that is the general direction of it. And I am saying that the Bible teaches by these examples, and the Bible shows in direct words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, that this is an aspect of sin, that it causes people to get more deeply involved in sin than they even planned or even imagined that they would ever do. So this serves as a warning. I believe that this should be a warning to any God-fearing person that when you're tempted to sin, the devil is not going to be satisfied with getting you to sin in one way or to sin one time. Sin will take you farther than you have ever imagined because the Bible says that the nature of sin is to become worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13.